At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. It's Monday, December the 15th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman. And in studio with me is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
And, fellas, we got 10 days. 10 days of
10 days till Christmas. It's December 15th.
Yep. So we
are doing a little quick math, and that's 10 days. Yeah, you're right.
10 days
till Christmas. I had to check the math on that.
The shopping. I'm reminding people about the shopping that may need to be done for your friends and family members. But anyway.
Or favorite, you know, talk show hosts, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, there may be people out there saying, I wonder what Tim, Ed, and Fred would like for Christmas.
And then it's fleeting.
The thought is fleeting.
There's a lot to talk about today on the program. Sadly, it's all bad.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just tragic news since Friday, Saturday, since, I don't know, last 3 or 4 days. It's just been terrible. The news, the stories that have been leading the news. We'd like to have happier things to talk about, especially around the holiday of Christmas and New Year's. Everybody's generally in a happy mood. But, Fred, what's leading the news right now?
Well, still leading the news this morning is what happened in Australia on the weekend. I think probably most of our listeners have heard now. During a Hanukkah celebration, group of Jews at I've never been to Australia, but apparently Bondi Beach is a very popular area in the Sydney area. And some Jews were celebrating Hanukkah, which had started on Friday, I guess it was. And two men, we now know of father and son, opened fire on that celebration. And we know at this point, 15 people killed and 38 injured. Probably a lot of it in our audience have seen some of the videos coming out of Australia. There were some people who were able to actually videotape one of the shooters. He was open fire, and what you see is a man with a long stem rifle, and he is shooting, pop, pop, pop. That's what you hear. Another video that's come out is a man who runs up behind one of the shooters and grabs the gun out of his arms. He points that gun at one of the shooters, but then lets him go. We now know that man that probably stopped the shooting actually is a Syrian man. He's from Syria, immigrated to Australia. A couple of things that are coming out of all of this right now. Obviously, the reports and even the Associated Press, even the liberal media is saying that Australia has not done enough to combat anti-Semitism. There have been attacks on synagogues, attacks on other Israeli interests over the years. Australia, one of those places that was advocating for a two-state solution. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel made that remark this morning. But here's the other thing that's being talked about. Australia has one of the strictest group of gun laws in the world, and yet this happened. But what is the reaction this morning, even amongst some here in the United States, some members of Congress, saying, you know, and we're going to talk about another tragedy that occurred this weekend, but calling for gun laws. And it's just a reminder once again, it's not guns that create violence. It's the people who have those guns. So much to talk about this, but number one, it has attacked this father and son, both Muslims, and opened fire on these unarmed group of Jews there in Australia.
How many dead and how many injured?
15 dead, 38 injured at this point.
By one man, one, there was two of them, but were both of them firing?
Yes, both firing, father and son. The father is dead. He was taken down by authorities. The son is in critical condition in an Australia hospital.
Yeah, he's in a coma.
Yeah.
And the people killed included a 10-year-old girl, a rabbi, and a Holocaust survivor. Man, you survive the Holocaust and then die on a beach during Hanukkah. By the way, there's a good detailed story on AFN.net for and keep your eyes open at AFN.net for updates throughout the day as authorities continue to release details as they come to as details.
Is this just another case of an Islamic jihadi murdering Jews because they're Jews? Is that what we got here?
That is the way it appears. Now, the man that you mentioned, Fred, that stopped the father. I think that was the father that he stopped.
Yes.
Incredibly, but I've seen the video of it, incredibly brave, courageous moment here. This was a Syrian. Do we know if he was Muslim as well? Do we don't
probably
know many details.
Syrian.
Probably
good
was.
Good chance he was.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but to your point, Tim, when they go radical, this is just stunning. A father and a son. And I've talked to some folks who go to the gun range a lot. They said these two men, the father and son, had to have been practicing this for a long time because you have a beach full of fleeing people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to get graphic here, but shooting at a stationary target is one thing. But 15 dead, 38 injured. These two individuals probably were preparing for this for a while.
Yes.
Which is just, we've talked
about this. So the gun control laws didn't stop this guy in Australia, and you're saying they have very strict gun control laws?
Some of the strictest in the world.
Okay. This is the point that needs to be, which is obvious, but needs to be stated again, just for the record here. Guns don't kill people. People kill people with guns. Secondly, I don't know how hard that is for liberals to understand, the gun control proponents to understand. Secondly, and maybe this is as important to state as the first thing, is that bad guys are always going to find a way to get guns, all right? So, because it's a crime. It's criminal activity to murder people. So, why is that so hard to get through the liberal? I heard Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, and she was commenting on the shooter at Brown University. We're going to get to that story, which killed two people and left several injured over the weekend. That happened, of course, here in the U.S. But she said, when are we going to deal? We got to deal with gun violence. This is just, they say this every time something happens. And I'm going, what gun law are you going to pass that's going to keep people intent on murdering people from stopping them? I don't understand. Can you help me, Ed, in any way?
Well, I do.
What would they say?
I do want to make mention of the fact that from what I've read, the older of the two men, of the father and son, he owned these guns legally. These were legally licensed firearm owners. You can go through a process in Australia to obtain guns legally.
Okay.
But it's very difficult and it's hugely expensive. That's my understanding. But to answer your question, I think what the left does on this issue is they say if there were no guns, there you could not, obviously, you could not have shootings. And when you say, well, people kill with knives and they kill with other things, their answer, now I'm a firm supporter of the Second Amendment. I have an enhanced carry permit myself. Their answer to that is that guns are far more lethal than anything else a person with murderous intent would use to commit a crime. And so the second thing is true. It is more lethal to have a gun and to use it when you're trying to kill someone. But the first thing, the first part is just living in la-la land. There's just, we're not going to, the United States, my understanding is, I forget the exact number, 300 million. There's more guns in the United States than there are people. That's what I've typically heard. You're not going to get rid of those guns, and people have, in our country, a legal right to defend themselves. I always want to ask people who want to get rid of the Second Amendment, what percentage of people who legally own guns commit crimes with them? And that's got to be very, very small, which means people have these guns to defend themselves and they don't use them to commit crimes. But those are the two answers that you usually get. If we didn't have any guns, there'd be no gun crime, which is a duh moment.
Can I tell you a third reason too?
Okay.
A point here, bullet point, no pun intended. And that is this. I don't think the people on the left don't want to talk about the race of the person or the religious motivation of the person if it doesn't fit their narrative. Then they want to just blame guns. If it's a Muslim killing Jews, they don't want to talk about he's motivated by jihadi jihadi thoughts or whatever you want to say. They just want to say, oh, it's guns. Unless the motive fits their narrative. So I can guarantee you, if this were a white supremacist that had killed these people in Australia or at Brown University, the left would be talking today not about gun control. They would be talking about white supremacy.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
So, by the way,
they'd be talking about the motivation.
They'd be talking about the motivation because it fits their narrative, okay, that they want to talk about. I think the people on the right are pretty consistent on this. We don't care about the narrative. We care about what is the motivation for the killing in the first place. Not guns don't get out of their, you know, don't get out of the cabinet at home and walk out onto the streets. That's what the left acts like, and the guns start killing people.
Right.
But they only believe that when it's some motivation of somebody they don't want to talk about. For example, if you talk about quote, gun violence in Chicago, well, it's almost exclusively by black males, probably between the ages of 15 and 35. It's probably 75, 80, 90% of, quote, gun violence in Chicago every weekend, right?
Yeah.
Or every week. They don't want to talk about black-on-black crime.
Right.
They just want to talk about the guns walking out in the streets and shooting people. However, I guarantee you if this was a white supremacist, and they do exist, although their numbers aren't evidently as bad as Joe Biden wanted us to believe.
Right.
He said it was the greatest threat to humanity.
Bizarrely, that's what he said.
He said white supremacy was the greatest threat to America. That's what Joe Biden said.
Yeah.
If it were a white supremacist killing people in Chicago, you would hear about the motivation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So I think we need to be consistent here as much as we can. And so when the left says we need gun control, no, we already have gun laws. Gun laws don't stop bad people from doing harm to others. They're going to get guns. That's why they're criminals. I mean, I just don't know how hard this is to understand. Now, this is a secondary issue to what we're talking about here. The tragedy is the first issue of what happened in Australia. Just all these Jewish people trying to celebrate Hanukkah on a beach get just mowed down. And then at Brown University here in the United States, which is in Rhode Island, right?
Uh-huh.
We don't know who the shooter is yet, and we don't know who what his, assuming it's a male, it almost always is, we don't know what the motivation is, right?
Fred? No, there were a group of students. They were in the engineering building there at Brown University.
Where is that in Providence?
Providence, Rhode Island.
On Saturday, they were getting ready for final exams. And some person walked into the back of the room. They got in. By the way, before I forget, they're saying one of the problems at Brown University doesn't like a lot of cameras. So they don't have that to work with as far as evidence goes. He walks into the back room, just opens up fire. Now, when that story broke, within a couple of hours, they said they had a person of interest in custody. They arrested him at a Hampton Inn in the local area. There's one little piece of video of a guy wearing all black walking away from the scene. But just this morning, we're learning that they've let that person go. They're releasing him. They figure it out fairly quickly. They really don't have the evidence. It may have something to do with what they believe the weapon was in this case. The guy that they had arrested initially had a 9mm gun. There is a witness who apparently says there was a long-stemmed rifle used. So that's where we are with that. So as of last night when they held a news conference to say they were releasing this initial person of interest, they basically, they're back to scratch again on trying to figure out who did this. But yes, two people died there, two students, one of them a young lady from Birmingham. We found that out this morning.
Birmingham, Alabama.
So very, very tragic. They've canceled all the final exams there at Brown University. And, you know, once again, guns being blamed by the left. But the other story that we're dealing with today is the stabbing death of Rob Reiner, comedian Rob Reiner, and his wife. We're just learning that their son, Nick, has just been arrested this morning and is apparently going to be charged. But this was a stabbing death. So it goes to the point we've been talking about, is that it is the heart of an individual, not the weapons. People who are bent on this kind of violence are going to use whatever weapon they choose to use. And no amount of laws is going to stop that.
And by the way, I didn't mean to imply when I was talking about the left's counter arguments on the issue of guns that you can't kill people with knives. Oh. Because we've seen that increasingly in countries where they have very strict gun laws, where frequently Muslims are using knives to kill people in Europe, for example. So that this now this was obviously, as far as we know, not a Muslim involved in the Rob Reiner death. Him and his wife Michelle, his son. I don't know if it's their son together. Nick Reiner has been taken into custody, but obviously knives can be very lethal. So I was only trying to respond to the argument that the left makes, and this is a one of those kind of freakish things that seems to happen every once in a while where you just go, what? Now, my understanding...
What's a freakish thing?
Well, just who expects a son to kill his parents? You know, that's a kind of a bizarre thing to have happen. But my understanding is that Nick Reiner, if he is indeed found to be the perpetrator here, has had trouble with drugs and been in and out of rehab. So I don't know what his mental state would have been. Again, he has been arrested and taken into custody, and we don't know if he's actually the perpetrator.
Yeah. Rob Reiner is a big name in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and he's a movie director. Many people remember him from the 70s as Meathead on the comedy show All in the Family.
Correct.
Which was very popular, for 5 or 6, 7 years right there. But Rob Reiner, he went on to, go into directing. And he was a outspoken lefty, on many issues. At first, I thought when this story broke, you know, he's of Jewish heritage.
Yes.
Rob Iron, and I thought, huh, I wonder if this is another, you know what I'm saying? Targeted killing of a Jewish, prominent Jewish person. But evidently that's not the case so far, that if the police have arrested his son as a, that would make sense, because this looked like a well-fortified community, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That he lived in. It was a very upscale neighborhood there in the Hollywood area.
And by the way, for those who are, maybe the name Rob Reiner doesn't ring a bell, you know, our generation certainly remembers him, but you may have heard of movies like A Few Good Men, When Harry Met Sally. I've never seen that one, but The Princess Bride. Okay, he directed those movies, and very memorable and very talented. But like you said, politically very, very left. So a lot of conservatives may have heard of him from that perspective, because he's been very vocal about his criticisms of President Trump in particular, but Republicans in general.
I was impressed by Rob Reiner's reaction to Charlie Kirk's death a few months ago. You may not remember this, but Charlie Kirk, of course, conservative, Rob Reiner, liberal, but Rob Reiner was asked about Charlie Kirk's death, and he said, horror, absolute horror. I unfortunately saw the video of it, and it's indescribable. It's beyond belief what happened to him. That should never happen to anybody. I don't care what your political beliefs are. That's not acceptable. That's not a solution. He went on to say, I felt like what his wife, that's talking about Erica, this is Rob Reiner talking about Charlie Kirk's death. I felt like what his wife said at the memorial they had was exactly right. Totally, I believe. He said, I'm Jewish, but I believe in the teachings of Jesus. I believe in do unto others, and I believe in forgiveness. And that's what she said. And what she said to me was beautiful, end quote.
And that came, by the way, so this is, like you're saying, a tip of the hat to Rob Reiner at the time, because he said that when there were a lot of people on the left who were celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. And Rob Reiner just, you know, said this is wrong. And we certainly need more of that kind of discouragement and criticism of violence as an answer to political differences.
Yeah.
So
this brings us to, I didn't want to have to talk about this, but President Trump issued a statement through his Truth Social, which is like Twitter. And it's almost, I don't even want to read it. It's so ridiculous. Is that the right word? Trump blames Rob Reiner.
This is a disturbing response.
Do what?
I don't know. I don't know how to characterize it. Go ahead and read it so our listeners understand.
Is it worth reading or no? Don't read it.
Well, you got to read it now. So,
well, he is the president of the United States of America, and
this was highly inappropriate.
He did this on his own. This is what Trump said on his own about Rob Reiner's death. Hold the break. I'll just quote it. He said, a very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away together with his wife, Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, referred to sometimes as TDS. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump with this is Trump talking in third person, with his obvious paranoia reaching new heights as the Trump administration surpassed all goals and expectations of greatness, and with the golden age of America upon us, perhaps like never before. May Rob and Michelle rest in peace.
You know, when you read that to me this morning, I had not seen it over the weekend. I couldn't believe it. Now, listen, we have a lot of listeners. I've voted for Donald Trump twice. Good grief, three times. And I like the vast majority of what President Trump has done in office. But, and so, folks, you can take this the way you want, but nobody should say that. after a tragedy like this, that the only appropriate response to what happened to Rob and Michelle Reiner is to say nothing at all. But since you're the president, you say this is a tragic thing. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Rob and Michelle Reiner. And like Rob Reiner said, this is not the response to political differences. And President Trump made it sound like they were killed because they had TDS. And I'm not trying to be overly critical of the president, but that's inappropriate. And
wildly.
Yes, wildly inappropriate. Why say this?
Well, that's warped. That's just, I don't know how else to say it.
Christians cannot excuse that and say, well, whatever he says, I'm in favor. If you're a Christian, you just got to say there are things we all do that are right and the things that we all do that are wrong. And listen, when I do something wrong, the Lord lets me know about it. And my wife lets me know about it. Or my pastor lets me know about it. Christians have to be able to separate their political beliefs from inappropriate
behavior.
Yeah,
he's saying that Reiner and his wife were killed because they had TDS.
Yes.
I don't know. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, it's a sad day for humanity, so to speak.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
The stories we're having to talk about. We've talked about Rob Reiner, the actor and director in Hollywood, getting murdered. He and his wife were murdered in their own home. Evidently, his son has been arrested.
Nick.
One of his sons has, I think he has more than one son, but his son has been arrested for that. And then we talked about Brown University in Rhode Island, where we had a shooter go in and kill two people, injure four or six more, something like that, over the weekend. That was here in the U.S., and then internationally, we had what happened in Australia with how many?
15 killed there and 38 injured.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was a Hanukkah celebration on a beach in Australia. It's summertime there.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Australia. And they were mowed down by
father and a son.
Father and a son.
Yeah. Which is leading to a lot of talk about the rise of anti-Semitism around the world. There's another story just out of Germany this morning. Five Muslims arrested there in an Islamist-motivated plot to attack a Christmas market there. And the authorities there say these three Moroccans, an Egyptian and an Assyrian, were detained on Friday on suspicion of planning to drive a vehicle into a Christmas market in the district of Bavaria. So we're talking about, you know, the immediate reaction of the left to what happened in Australia, gun laws. We need stricter gun laws. Well, we had the tragic stabbing to death of Rob Reiner and his wife yesterday. Now, it's a vehicle being used. And we've seen this before among Islamic terrorists. There was the incident in Paris back a few years ago. And I've got to tell you, we've been dealing a lot, when I'm saying we, AFR News, with the rise in anti-Semitism in this country, too. We've seen it on our university campuses. But also, I was reading a story in Toronto, Canada, I believe it was, where a woman had gotten into an Uber. She was getting a drive from the airport. And she was Jewish, and she was talking to her husband in Hebrew, on the phone, talking to her husband in Hebrew. The Uber driver kicked her out, said, get out of my car. Because she's Jewish. This is happening more and more and more. So the problem is the problem of the heart. It's not the vehicle used, the gun used, the, you know, whatever the case may be, but it's what's going on. It's global. I saw one phrase being used. It's the anti-Jewish movement gone globally around the world. We're seeing this more and more. And, you know, as Christians, we see a very direct connection spiritually to all of this.
Well, I was looking at a Fox News story, and this is having to do with what happened at Sydney's Bondi Beach. Her name is, I think it's a she, Dion Taylor, communications manager of the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council, blaming the government in Australia for not heading this off, that they have been warning for several years now about what is happening. And it is a woman. Ms. Taylor said, it started with hate speech, then graffiti, then public demonstrations, then firebombing synagogues, preschools, people's homes, people's cars, and now murder. And she said that Jewish leaders, community representatives, repeatedly raising alarms with state and federal officials and criticizing the governments for not heading this off and dealing with it as these things escalated. And to your point about the biblical realities of this, we can speculate. I don't want to pretend that I know what's in the mind of God and how he is moving in the earth, but it seems like we're getting to the stage where Jews are not going to be safe anywhere. Uh-huh. And you may see more Jews moving to Israel from Europe, from places like Australia, maybe eventually from the United States, going back to Israel because they are not safe. And don't forget, a lot of this anti-Semitism worldwide occurred because of the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023. So, and Israel has to fight to defend itself, and that has caused this anti-Semitism to explode.
As we're sitting here talking, folks, we monitor various news agencies. There is a live news conference going on right now. The FBI in Los Angeles just brought it up here. FBI stops planned New Year's Eve Los Angeles terror attack by pro-Palestinian cell. And they're just talking about this in a live news conference from Los Angeles as we're sitting here. So this is happening city to city across the world right now. This anti-Semitism, and it's what bothers, well, you know, you talk spiritually, but you know, the excuses that are often given, well, it's just a small group of people that are doing this. We had two U.S. soldiers killed in Syria on the weekend by ISIS that was killed. the mainstream media does not help things. They think, you know, they're afraid to use the word Muslim, Islamic terrorist attack, all of this sort of thing. Even the headlines that I'm reading up there are saying terror attack. This story that I'm reading here is from the New York Post. They are at least saying it's a pro-Palestinian cell. So this is happening all over the world.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me offer a reason for this. And I'm just offering a possible reason for this, and that is the increase in attacks on Jewish people around the world. And you forget, was it a few months ago in Washington, D.C., that Jewish couple came out of the museum?
Yes.
And they were mowed down?
Yes.
Because they were Jews?
Yes.
They
were Messianic Jews. They were Christian Jews.
Yeah. But the threats are around the globe right now. It seems like it's more and more. This is not an excuse. This is a reason why this may be happening more now. So what happened in Israel? After Israel was attacked on October the
7th,
what was it,
2023,
and you had 1,100 people murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Then Israel retaliated against Hamas in Gaza, and Israel unleashed on Gaza and innocent. When I say innocent people, I'm talking about non-combatants. I'm talking about women and children, because Hamas mixes in Gaza. It's a very small place, relatively speaking, and so they mix in with the population, the general population. So it makes it inevitable that if Israel is going to go after Hamas, the women and children and innocent people are going to die. That's a sad reality, but that's just the truth of the matter. Otherwise, Israel's left with just sitting there going, well, we can't do anything to protect ourselves or defend ourselves because a bomb we use may kill people who are non-combatants. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You follow me here?
Yeah.
So Israel's in a very tough situation right there in terms of having to decide day after day after day what to bomb, who to go after, who to shoot, where do you send your troops? And that causes the people there in Gaza, 2 million of them, basically they're living in squalor. They have no hope. There's nowhere, and so those videos of those people gain sympathy around the world when you see a lot of them are AI generated, by the way,
phony.
Mm-hmm. But they get sympathy around the world, and who they blame on the videos, and who does the world blame? They blame Israel, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the Jews, here's the scenario, here's the narrative, that the Jews are killing the Arabs in Gaza, and they're doing so unmercifully, and they're doing so indiscriminately, and there's no talk of, okay, let's go back to what started this. It almost started immediately that Israel was not supposed to respond. And when they started responding, remember the condemnation?
Uh-huh.
Genocide started. The word genocide started to come up against Israel. My opinion of this is that once you unleash if you murder 1,100 or 1,200 people, citizens of a country like Israel, really you have no right to dictate the terms of the ceasefire. I mean, you really are in no position, Hamas, to say stop because you're killing too many of our people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I wish nobody could kill. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's heartbreaking to see the people in Palestine in the Gaza Strip walking around and you know, like I said, they're living in...
Now, like you said before... They're living in rubble.
Well, they're living in rubble. They got nothing. They got no hope. They got no future. And yet they still, and also you got to remember, they are taught to hate the Jews from the time they're 2 years old. So I remember back in the 80s, and this goes back decades and decades, if not, I don't know, maybe more than that. I remember in the 80s, my wife was teaching at a, we were going to school at Mississippi State University, and she was teaching at a preschool that had international students bring their children there.
Yeah.
So they dropped their children off, and it'd be kids from around the world. You know, little United Nations there that she was teaching. And she came home, Allison did one day for me, and she said, you know what, the strangest thing happened at school today. She said, I got this 3- and 4-year-old or 4- and 5-year-old, and they're Arabs. And they started, we gave them colors and a piece of paper. And, you know, it's coloring time here.
Yeah.
And she said they drew a Star of David. Huh. And then they had guns. Then they drew guns. They drew rockets going at the Star of David. Are you following me here?
Yeah.
And I said, what? I said, so I said, yeah, sadly, they're being taught at home to hate Israel.
Yeah.
At a very, very young age. That's a true story.
Wow.
Obviously, I'm not making it up.
Right.
Or I wouldn't tell it.
Right.
Okay, that really happened. This is, goes back to the 80s. My point is that the children are taught to hate Israel because they're taught to hate the Jews. And when you are a victim of a bombing in Gaza and your family gets killed and you're going to say, who did this? Well, Israel did. You're going to hate them.
Right.
That's just human nature. So I don't know, short of Jesus Christ coming back to earth and please come, Lord Jesus, as
amen.
The Bible says, amen, to bring peace on earth. And it's ironic we're having to discuss this around the celebration of the Prince of Peace coming to earth. But the hatred there between those peoples is so great. It's hard to look forward and say this is going to be worked out and ironed out anytime soon. I'm thankful for the ceasefire that's going on here. But Israel had to, you know, they had to take out another Hamas leader the other day. Well, that's going to cause a retaliation from the other side. Now, we'll say this, and I don't agree with this, but I think people need to understand this. If you were to say to the Hamas or to people in Gaza, the Arabs there, even people in the surrounding countries or people who hate the Jews and Israelis around the world, you were to say, okay, October 7th, 2023 is when this all started. They're going to say, no, this started prior to that. Why do you think Hamas killed the Jews? Because the Jews were already boxing the Palestinians into this small area. They were living in squalor. They had no hope for any kind of a future. So
they took Palestinian land.
Do what?
They took Palestinian land.
Yes. They put all this buildup. They're going to tell you that Israel started this prior to October 7th. Uh-huh. I'm just telling you what they're going to say. And so now genocide is the word being used. Fred, let me ask you this. Is this all political, or do you think this is biblical or spiritual in some way? Because this doesn't involve Christians per se.
No.
We're talking about the Jews don't believe in Christ either.
No.
Okay, so how is this, do you think this is somehow... biblical or spiritual in nature?
I think it's political, driven by spiritual forces. Political in that you have two factions of people. The Palestinians, as you have pointed out, teaching their kids from a very young age that the source of all the problems of the Palestinians is the Jewish people. Well, that's about as far from reality as possible. Israel doesn't start the wars. They defend themselves. Gaza, prior to October 7th, 2023, the economy was thriving.
Where?
Gaza was thriving. there were people from Gaza who traveled every day into Israel. They had jobs there. They go there for medical treatment. But it's the element of the Hamas and the Hezbollah. They hate the Jewish people. They, you know, from the river to the sea, they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. But they also hate Christians, because and particularly Christians in America, because Christians in America, evangelical Christians in America, love the Jewish people, love the nation of Israel, and support it. So that and all of that is a spiritual element. It goes back to Scripture, and the Jews being God's chosen people. Yes, do they need a Savior? Do they need Jesus Christ as their Savior? Of course they do. But they, you know, it goes back to the Bible and biblical truth and where we are. We believe that God is not through with the Jewish people, and that there is going to be a great revival amongst the Jewish people someday. But it is, I believe it is satanic-driven hatred of the Jewish people and of Christians who support the Jewish people. So that is the spiritual genesis of all of this.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, you were going to say, Ed?
Yeah, I was just going to just add to I agree with everything that Fred said, but it's like when you talk about what does Satan have to do? Why would Satan hate the Jewish people? Well, for the same reason why Satan hates unborn babies.
Yes.
Okay, our spiritual enemy hates anybody created in God's image, and he hates anybody who has put their faith and trust in God, so Christians, and Satan hates the Jewish people because God has made a promise to the Jewish people. The Bible has specific prophetic declarations about the future of the Jewish people, and if Satan can try to obliterate the Jewish people, then God's promise fails. And I think that is at least a partial explanation of why Satan puts such hatred in the hearts of people against the Jewish people. And I would say one additional thing, there's a general spiritual principle here, and that is that when people are like leaders in Hamas or Hezbollah or ISIS, and they are constantly feeding you ideas to make you hate a person enough to kill Jewish people, and then they respond and they kill your father or they kill your son or they kill your brother in wartime, that naturally is going to make you hate those people for a very, very long time. So there's specific reasons for this kind of spiritual hostility to the Jews, and then there's just the general kind of hostility.
But, you know, you're exactly right. This doesn't happen in the abstract, this hatred, which is irrational sometimes, but still, I'm thinking about, I read about the Civil War, and I was reading a journal of people who lived in the South, is some people who lived in the South, and they were looking at the Civil War not by the justice of the cause,
right,
that the two sides were representing, that is the North against slavery, the South wanting to maintain slavery. Now, I don't want, please don't email me about, no, it's states' rights.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was states' rights to defend slavery.
Right.
Okay. So that was a big part of it. I'm just saying. But these people were not in the, they were not, this journal that I was reading from a Southerner's perspective was not about the overall cause of justice.
Right.
For the slaves or anything like that, or the overall, it was much more minute in their thinking. These Yankees, these blankety Yankees, came in and killed my family and took our land. And they didn't say, but they did it for a good reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They said no, and it was what they're doing to our farmers and our people is savagery and is butchery and is, I hate them. That kind of thing. They're talking about the Union, Union forces. So when that happens to you, you don't care about anything else but who killed my family.
A Yankee laid him in his grave the night they drove
Old Dixie down.
So that's why you listen. That's why Apaches hated white people, and then Apaches responded by killing and scalping and whatever and kidnapping, and then white people hated the Apaches back. That's just the gut reaction,
right?
When someone kills,
and the Indian tribes hated each other.
Yes, that's at the all the way back to Cain killing Abel.
Yeah.
He hated his brother and murdered him because X, Y, or Z. Everybody has their reasons.
That's why Jesus warns against hatred of the heart.
Yes.
And likens it to murder. Because, I mean, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you have hate in your heart, it's as if you've committed the sin of murder.
Yes.
So,
or even just anger. He says, Jesus, I don't want to run out of time here.
You got a minute to tell us 2,000 years of Christian teaching.
So when we were talking about what President Trump wrote, this is why I criticized it, is because Jesus says, if you call your brother, and he says a name, you call your brother a name, empty head, okay, stupid, moron. You're guilty enough to go to hell. Christians need to remember we cannot water down the teachings of Jesus for political expediency. We can root for a political approach to our problems without watering down what Jesus says, because Jesus is very clear about how dangerous it is to hate people and to be angry at people and call them names.
Right. Yeah. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
We'll be back with Steve Paisley Jordahl in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.